Good morning, everyone. My name is Shai Finkelstein. I'm the Rav of Keilat Nitzanim in Baka, and it's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. And the topic for this morning will be running from reality or the ultimate Jewish optimism between Shabbat Chazon and Shabbat Nachamu. And really the issue is that we're going to discuss today will be the following. You know, we just, I would say, celebrated or observed, it depends on the perspective, Tisha B'Av, just yesterday. And even really today, until Chatzot, we still have some of the minhagim of Avelut, of being a mourner. And however, we know that when we look at Tisha B'Av, it seems to be that there is something little strange. We start at night with Eicha, and we sit on the floor, and we really dim the lights. And then in the morning, we don't put tefillin, and we say kinot. And then in the middle of the day, after Chatzot yesterday, we already change some of the mood. We are now allowed to sit on a high chair, and we'll see some different minhagim, some different customs that were developed during the history and created a tremendous change in the middle of the day of Tisha B'Av. And also Tisha B'Av is in between Shabbat Chazon, Chazon Yeshaya ben Amos that we read the Haftarah last week, and immediately this week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will read the Haftarah of Nachamu Nachamu Ami. God is going to what? To provide us with comfort. And after that we have Sheva Denechamta, seven Haftarot that talks about what? Comfort and good things for the Jewish people. And the question that I want to ask, and we will repeat that question when we see the sources, is a very simple one. I know we are a very optimistic nation. I know we don't like to be pessimistic, we don't like to be sad. When you look at the Jewish calendar, the only sad day is Tisha B'Av. Yom Kippur is not a sad day. Yom Kippur is a happy day. The Talmud says that there were Shnei Yamim Tovim Lahem LeYisrael, there were two great days for the Jewish people, Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Why? Because it's a day of atonement. So we are happy. So the only sad day we have is Tisha B'Av, which is very strange and different on our Jewish calendar. So my question is like that. Are we running from reality? We can't face even one day of sadness, that we need to change it in the middle, or we need to put it, squeeze it in between Chazon and Nachamu. Why can't we, just for 25 hours, it's only 25 hours, just concentrate on sadness? It seems that we want to avoid it as much as we can, so we try to run away from it. Is that what we do, or we have a different approach? So that's going to be really the topic of this morning's class. So let's see the first source. The first source in Psachim, in Ayin Zayin, Amud Aleph, 77a, the Talmud says like that. I will give you a little bit of an introduction. It really starts with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Elu Ba'in Betum'ah V'ne'echalin Shelo Betum'ah, which means the Mishnah recites five different sacrifices that you can bring them even though the Tzibur, the congregation, is impure, but you cannot eat it like that. And one of them is Seirei Rashei Chodeshim. The sacrifice is the korbanot for Rosh Chodesh, for the first day of the month. And the Gemara asked the question, why do we need it? Why do we need to specify all five of them? We can really mention one or two of them and learn the rest of them from it. Why do we need to specify each one of them? So the Gemara says like that. That's the first source on your source sheets. It says, Seirei Rashei Chodeshim Itzrichele. The English says it was necessary for the Mishnah to mention the goats sacrificed on the new moon. It could enter your mind, because Salka De'atach Amina, you would have think that what? Alok Tiv Be'u Moed. It doesn't say in the Torah that Rosh Chodesh is considered as Moed. What is a Moed? A holiday. By the way, just for the Hebrew side, I will switch to Hebrew for a second. Moed in English is being translated as a holiday. But really the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, has many more meanings. Moed is zman, time. Likboa moed, it's to set a time. Moed is also from the word leitvaed, to come together. That's what we do during the Chagim. And also from the word Yehud. What is Yehud? Destiny. Destiny. Which means that you come together for a purpose, for a goal. It's not that we just have a holiday. We have a holiday with a purpose, with a set time, with gathering together, and with a destiny. And if you want to be creative and innovative, you can also say that Moed comes from the word Edut, which is testimony. So when you bring all those meanings together, you really have an understanding of what does it mean to celebrate a Chag, a holiday. It is a meaning of togetherness with a destiny, with a goal, to testify of what we are about to do. So the English translation, obviously, we lose a lot. The Hebrew has a tremendous meaning. Okay, so the Talmud says, Aloktiv be'umoed, because when you look at the sacrifices of Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't say Moed, a holiday. Kamashmalan, so it's come to teach us, the Rosh Chodesh Ikri Moed. That Rosh Chodesh is also considered as Moed. It's considered as a holiday. Therefore, you need to bring Seirei Rashi Chodashim. Therefore, it's considered as a Korban Tzibur, a congregational sacrifice. And therefore, even if the congregation is impure, you can still bring the Korban. Because Korban Tzibur Doche Tum'ah. We can bring a Korban Tzibur even though the congregation is not pure. Kede'abayei, kede'amar abayei. Because how do we know that Rosh Chodesh, that the new moon, is considered as a holiday? Because of what Abaye said. What did he say? De'amar Abaye, Tamuz de'ahi shata miluyei malye, dichtiv kara alay moed lishbor bachurai. Introduction. We know that we have a history with Tisha B'Av. What is the history? The history is the Meraglim, the spies. You remember that story? Moshe sent the spies, and he sent them when? During the month of Sivan, but when? So let's go backwards. We know they came back when? Tisha B'Av. Why? The Jewish people start crying, and the Midrash says, Atem bechitem bechia shel chinam, v'achav tivku bechia ledorot. You cried for nothing, and now you're going to cry for generations to come. Now, how many days the spies travel? 40 days. So if you take Tet Av, 9th of Av, and you take 40 days backwards, you will get to Kafchet Sivan. Kafchet Sivan, 28th of Sivan, and they came back on Tisha B'Av. The problem is, Chodesh Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, should be chaser, only 29 days, based on the calculations. And if you make the calculations, it will be only 39 days until Tisha B'Av. So Abaye said that at that year, they created a chodesh male, a full month for Tammuz, and then the calculation is right. Now, how do we know that? So says Abaye, he brings the pasuk from Eicha. It says, Sila kol abirai, Hashem bekirbi, kara alai moed lishbor bachurai. Which means what? Hashem called a moed, set a time, to what? To destroy my people. Now, that refers to what? To what day? To Tisha B'Av. However, Abaye says, you can basically borrow the term and says not only Tisha B'Av is called a moed, but also he already set a month, which is called Moed, in order to what? To allow the spies to come on Tisha B'Av and to have this Priya Shel Chinam. Now, what does it mean? So let's do some order here. We know that Tisha B'Av is called Moed. How do we know? The Pasuk in Eicha. Kara alai Moed lishbor bachurai. He called this day a Moed. Now, really, it's not necessarily a holiday, it can be, he set a time. But the Talmud understand it as what? As a holiday, Moed. Says Abaye, when do we know that Hashem already set that time? He already set the time from the beginning of Chodesh Tammuz. Because without making Chodesh Tammuz, the month of Tammuz, a full month, the spies will not come back when? On Tisha B'Av. They will need to come on Chet B'Av, on Eighth B'Av. Therefore, says Abaye, you understand the logic? He says, Moed does not only refer to Tisha B'Av, it also refers to Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Ah, says the Gemara. From here we have a proof that what? That Rosh Chodesh is called Moed. And therefore, if you bring a Seir l'Rosh Chodesh, if you bring the sacrifice for Rosh Chodesh, it's also considered as bringing a sacrifice during the Moed. And if the congregation is impure, you can still bring the sacrifice. Wonderful. Now, what's the point? What do I take from it? I take from it one thing that bothers me. How can you call Tisha B'Av Moed? Come on. All other holidays, what do? Like the joke says, we suffer, they try to kill us, we won, we eat. Right? There's no such a thing. We almost lost, we were expelled from the land of Israel, our Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and we sit and cry. This is not a Jewish holiday. How can you call Tisha B'Av a holiday? So, if you want, everything that is on source on source sheet number one, I basically already did with you by heart. So let's turn to page number two. On page number two, there is a very interesting minhag, very interesting custom that the Beit Yosef brings that we need to understand. The Beit Yosef, it's the second source on page number two, says the following. Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, lived 510, almost 60 years ago, lived in Tzfat. He is the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the book that basically contains all the Jewish laws. And he says like that, Minhag Kadum, there is an ancient custom, Shehanashim, that women, Rochatzot Roshan, min ha-mincha velemala beyom tisha be'av. There is an ancient custom that the women will wash their hair on mincha on tisha be'av. Vezkenim harishonim enhigu minhag ze. And the ancient elders basically constituted this custom. Ve'asu smach ladavar, and they found some kind of a proof to it, al ma she'amru ba'agada, ki ha-mashiach nolad b'yom tisha be'av. Because we have a legend or we have a tradition that says that Mashiach was born on tisha be'av, ve'tzarich la'asot zecher la'goel ve'la'menachem, and we need to make a reminder for the Redeemer and for the Mashiach who is the Menachem. Menachem, Meshiv Nafshi, is the one who provides us with comfort. Kedei shelo ityashu min ha-geula. So they will not give up from redemption. So now, let's analyze it. We know that we have minhagei avelut, laws of mourning, during the shloshet ha-shavuot, the 3 weeks. After that, it's become even more stringent during the 9 days. Then it's become even more stringent when it comes to shavua shechalbo. And then the most stringent halacha is on Tisha B'Av. According to everyone, are you allowed to take a shower on Tisha B'Av? No. You can just put some water here on the fingertips and then to maybe, you know, do it on your eyes. And if you are a really Easternist, you know, maybe a little bit more leniencies. But I didn't find anyone says, oh, you can take a shower in the afternoon, not a problem. And what the minhag says? That the women wash their hair after mincha. Why? Me neither. Until I saw it at the Beit Yosef. And then I was upset. This is a discrimination. Why only women? Why not men? So the thing is, and I will tell you why women in a minute, in my opinion. The women were allowed to do it, and the elders, it was not just a minhag nashim. It's not that the women says, you know what, my hair is a little oily, so I know what, I'll go and have a shower, and I'll put some conditioner. This was not the custom. The custom was constituted by the elders in order to constitute a minhag that will remind us, Mashiach was born today, Mashiach will come, we need to get ready. So we have a minhag, versus halacha. And the minhag overrides the halacha. So, we have two issues here. One issue is that how can we manage it? I mean, we have a halachic ruling, and then we have a minhag. B, why the women and not the men? So, I will say something that the men in the crowd will need to excuse me, but women for ages, all in the history, you see it with the golden calf, you see it with Chet HaEgel, you see it according to many, even with Chet HaMeraglim, we see that the women definitely had a tendency and an inclination to be more aware of Mashiach and redemption. We see it already ביציאת מצרים, בזכות נשים צדקניות נגאלו. We see it with Chet HaEgel that they did not participate. And we see it later on with Bnot Tzlofchad שחיבבו את הארץ. That they really loved the land. Therefore, they will be the leading force to wait for Mashiach. So that I can understand. But how can we understand the conflict between the minhag and the halacha? The answer is probably the essence of the day of Tisha B'Av after Chatzot. After Chatzot, after midday, we see a tremendous change. We put already tefillin. We can sit on normal chairs, not to sit on the ground. We see there is a change, and this change was channeled into letzapot ligeula. Because what's the purpose of the entire sadness that we have on Tisha B'Av? It's to anticipate Mashiach. We are not remembering the exile and the destruction of the temple for the sake of the destruction. We try, and this is the Jewish approach, it's not running away from reality. It's knowing that the reality is that in the time of destruction, we already find what? Faith and hope. So, the Zechariah, the Navi Zechariah, says the following, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, that's what says the Lord of Hosts. Tzom HaRevi'i, the fourth fast day, V'tzom HaChamishi, which is Tisha B'Av, V'tzom HaShvi'i, this is Tzom Gedaliah, V'tzom HaAsiri, Yelevet Yehuda, לססון ולשמחה ולמועדים טובים, והאמת והשלום אהבו. It's going to be a holiday, and the truth and peace will be intertwined together. By the way, just as a side note, how can you intertwine truth and peace, אמת and שלום? If it's אמת, if it's true, it's not necessarily going to bring peace, right? If you say to someone, let me be dugri with you. I want to tell you the truth the way it is. Is that going to bring shalom? It depends. How can you bring it together? So the Talmud says, zu pshara. This is a compromise. It's a way to find the balance between things. And to create shalom, shalom does not mean that we are all dancing hora together. Shalom means harmony, that there is a space and a place for everyone on the spectrum. No one feels intimidated, everyone feels that his voice is being heard, and they can sit together, united for a common goal. Not necessarily that they all think alike. That's called achidut, meaning everyone is the same. We talk about achdut, unity, which means there is respect. There is mutual respect between the participants, and they all can sit b'shalom, with harmony. Okay. Now, later on, the Shulchan Aruch, the same Bet Yosef, says the following, in Ilchot Tisha B'Av, Siman Taf Kuf Nun Bet. The Rama brings a very interesting custom, u'minhag b'chol glilot Ashkenaz, there is a minhag, in all the lands of Ashkenaz, le'echol seuda kvua kodem mincha. To eat a set meal before mincha on Erev Tisha B'Av. What we call Seuda Mafseket, before the Seuda Mafseket really. Because the Seuda Mafseket before Tisha B'Av is the egg and the ashes and the dry bread. Ve'achar kach mitpalelim mincha, ve'ochlim Seuda Mafseket, ve'nohagim, and the minhag is, leharbot k'tzat b'Seuda Rishona, to have a little bit more in the first meal before mincha. Why? Kedei shelo yazik lahem ha'ta'anit, oil veposkim mi beod yom kmo biyom ha'kippurim. What's the reason? because you are going to have a long fast day, it's a 25 hours fast day, כמו יום כיפור, like Yom Kippur, so therefore, have a little bit of a bigger meal, a larger meal before Mincha, go daven Mincha, and then eat the Suda Mafseket for Tisha B'Av, which is what? The egg, dip in ashes, and whatever minagim you have. The Magen Avraham says, you know what? That's not the reason. The reason for the larger meal before Mincha is the following. Veli nir'e, and in my opinion, says the Magen Avraham, ta'am acher, I have a different reason. Mipnei shebezman bayit sheni, in the time of the second temple, haya yom tov tisha be'av. Tisha be'av was a yom tov. Vehayu marbin beseuda. And what do you do on yom tov? You have a big meal. Af achshav. לא זזו ממנה להיות לזיכרון שיהפך במהרה בימינו לססון ולשמחה ועיין בבית יוסף סוף סימן תף קוף נון דלת. Says the Magen Avraham the following. He says, you know why we have a larger meal? Because we need to remember that it used to be a Yom Tov. Now, we cannot have a Yom Tov on the day because it's a fast day. So we will make a reminder on Erev Tisha B'Av. And then he says, Ve'ayen, and look at the Bet Yosef in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Daled. What does it mean? It means look at the Bet Yosef that we read about the women washing their hair. Which means the Magen Avraham creates in a way a theory. We have a Tisha B'Av. We have a day that it's a sad day. What do we do with this day? We mourn, we cry, we are sad. However, we still remember it's a Yom Tov. How can you balance between a sad day and a Yom Tov? We try to create reminders. May it be Erev, Tisha B'Av, to have a larger meal in order to remember that it used to be a Yom Tov and it will be a Yom Tov based on Navi Zechariah. A, in addition, during the day itself, after Chatzot, women will wash their hair in order to anticipate Geula, redemption. We start putting on tefillin. We don't sit on the ground. We create a change in the mood in order to show we are sad, but we fully understand that from that sadness, things will change and good things will come. How can you illustrate it? By doing things that really show that you believe. So when you wash your hair, you do it for a purpose. When you put on tefillin, the efer starts becoming a pe'er. Same letters. That's why we don't put tefillin in the morning. Efer tachat pe'er, but in the afternoon, we already put the glory. Oter Israel betifara. That God crowned the Jewish people with glory. So that leads us to one of the most famous Talmudic paragraphs that I would like to read it with the theme that we established. So the Talmud says in Makot in Daf Kav Daled 24a and 24b says the following. Now we are at the end of page number 2 and we will even read the English. And once Rabbi, you know what? I can't do it. I will read the Hebrew and then we'll translate. You can't learn Gemara like that. I will translate. וכבר היה רבן גמליאל ורב לזר בן עזריה ורבי יהושע ורבי עקיבא מהלכין בדרך. So, four of our leading תנאים, leading scholars, were walking. ושמעו כל המונה של רומי ברחוק 120 מיל. And they heard the celebration of the Roman Empire from 120 mil. Now, I don't know if it was 120 mil or if it was 75 kilometers. I don't care about the distance. The fact is that they heard the celebration of their enemies and they did not hear any celebration from the Jewish people. V'itchilu bochim. And they start crying. V'Rabbi Akiva mesachek. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Amru lo. מפני מה אתה משחק? Why are you laughing? What is so funny? אמר להם, like a good Jew, what do you think he told them? He asked them a question, obviously. מפני מה אתם בוכים? Why are you crying? אמרו לו, הללו קושיים שמשתחווים לעצבים ומקטרים לעבודת כוכבים, יושבים בטח והשקט, וענו, בית אדום רגלי אלוקינו שרוף באש ולא נבכה. What is the reason not to cry? They, the Romans, are idol worshippers. And they did everything wrong, and they יושבים לבטח, they sit with security, they sit with tranquility, and they are happy. And we see the temple was destroyed, was burned to the ground, and we suffer. Obviously we're going to cry. The question is on you. How can you not cry? אמר להם, לכך אני מצחק. Says, that's exactly the reason why I'm laughing. ומה לעוברי רצונו כך? לעושה רצונו על אחת כמה וכמה. He says, if that's the way Hashem treat the people who violate his will, we who accept Hashem's will and we follow his commandments, what he's waiting for us is much greater than what they have, even though now we don't have it. So let's stop here for a second. What do you think Rabbi Akiva saw in that moment? Oh, maybe he saw already Jerusalem today, that by the way, even King David and King Solomon did not have it in their glory days. In terms of territory, they might have 10% of what we have. In terms of population, maybe 5-7%. That's what they had. That was the glory of Yerushalayim. Now, Baruch Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. There is still a way to go, but Baruch Hashem, there is Bonei Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva already heard in Kol Hamona Shel Romi. He heard with the celebration of the Roman Empire. He already heard the voices of celebration of what? Ot yeshvu zkenim uzkenot b'rchovot Yerushalayim. That they will sit people in the streets of Jerusalem ונערים ונערות משחקים ברחובותיה. He already heard Zechariah. So this is the first story. What's the second story? The second story, the Gemara says, שוב, פעם אחת היו עולים לירושלים. רבן גמליאל, רב לזר בן עזריה, רבי יהושע ורבי עקיבא were descending to Jerusalem. כיוון שהגיעו להר הצופים קרו בגדיהם. So they reached Mount of Scopus and they torn their clothes. כיוון שהגיעו להר הבית, when they reached הר הבית, the Temple Mount, ראו שועל שיצא מבית קודשי הקודשים. So they saw a fox coming out from the קודש הקודשים. התחילו הם בוכים, ורבי עקיבא מצחק. Same story. They are crying, he is laughing. אמרו לו, מפני מה אתה מצחק? What's the reason for you? Did we say a joke? Why are you laughing? אמר להם, מפני מה? אתם בוכים, why are you crying? אמרו לו, מקום שכתוב בו והזר הקרב יומד ועכשיו שואלים הולכים בו לא נבכה. The Torah says והזר הקרב יומד. Even if someone is a Kohen, but he's not a Kohen גדול, can he enter the Kodesh HaKodashim? Answer, yes, he can, but that will be a death sentence for him. He can't. Only the Kohen גדול, after he's being detached from his family for 7 days, like the Mishnah in Yoma says, and they teach him and they warn him not to change anything. And now we have a fox coming out. Obviously we're going to cry. So he says, אמר להם, לכך אני מצחק. That's why I'm laughing. Why? דכתיב, והעידה לי עדים נאמנים את אוריה הכהן ואת זכריה בן יברכיהו. וכי מה עניין אוריה אצל זכריה? You put those two prophets, these two נביאים together. אוריה and זכריה, we're not at the same time. What's the connection? It's like apples and oranges. What's the connection between Uriah and Zechariah? So he says like that, Uriah במקדש ראשון וזכריה במקדש שני. You're talking about at least 200, 300 years, or even maybe more, between the two prophets. So the Talmud, so Rabbi Akiva says, אלא תלה כתוב נבואתו של זכריה בנבואתו של אוריה. באוריה כתיב, לכן בגללכם ציון שדה תחרש. Uriah says, because of you, I'm going to plow Zion like a field, which means I'm going to level it. I'm going to destroy it. ובזכריה כתיב, עוד ישבו זקנים וזקנות ברחובות ירושלים. We will have multi-generational people in Jerusalem, in the streets of Jerusalem. Ad shelo nitkaima nevuato shel Uriah, until the prophecy of Uriah was not fulfilled, hayiti mityare, I will be concerned that lo titkayem nevuato shel Zechariah, that nevuato, that the prophecy of Zechariah will not be fulfilled. Achshav shenitkaima nevuato shel Uriah, now when I see that what? That Uriah's prophecy was fully fulfilled, Tzion sadet echaresh, we know, the Romans basically plowed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and later on built what? Ilia Kapitolina. They changed the name of Jerusalem, and they built a temple, a Roman temple in Jerusalem. And in a way, by the way, will not allow Jews to live in Jerusalem. They expelled the Jewish people from Jerusalem. So Rabbi Kiva says, now, when I see that the prophecy of Uriah was fully fulfilled to the last detail, I know that another prophecy will come back. The prophecy of Zechariah. Belashon hazeh amru lo, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. Which, by the way, reminds us what? The Haftarah that we are going to read this Shabbat. Nachamu, nachamu ami. Nichamtanu, nichamtanu. Rabbi Akiva, who was the author of Torah Shebe'al Peh, in a way, was able to see what? He was not that he was such an optimist and totally, you know, was oblivious to sadness and destruction. He saw the destruction. But he saw in the destruction itself, he already saw the seed of redemption. He knew that without destruction, we will not have redemption. It's like looking at the Jewish people in Mitzrayim and see them in Memtet Sha'arei Tum'ah, in 49th gate of impurity, and to see what? To see the At Erom Ve'eriah, you are naked, you are nothing, but to see what? To see the beauty of the Jewish people, even in that moment. This is Jewish, not optimism. This is the Jewish theology of how we look at tragedy. How do we look at calamities? We don't dwell on sadness and calamities, we build from them. Do you remember what Moshe did immediately after the first milchama with Amalek? Vayiven mizbeach. He immediately built. There is no dwelling on the war. The war is not our purpose. We want to build. The Jewish people, after Pilegesh Bagiva, after the realization of the destruction, the first thing they do is what? How do we get out of this shvua, of this oath, and how do we maintain a tribe, another tribe in Israel? We don't want to destroy the tribe of Binyamin. You see it all in the entire Jewish history. After the Shoah, what was the first thing the Jewish people were looking to do? To take revenge or to build their lives? Build their lives. That's what we are all about. So if you turn to page number 3, you will see something very interesting that we see already in the time of the destruction. Hashem says to Jeremiah, to Yirmiyah, Hadavar asher haya el Yirmiyahu me'et Hashem. That's what Hashem says to Yirmiyah. בשנה העשירית לצדקיהו מלך יהודה, היא השנה ה-18 לנבוכדנצר. ואז, and at that time, חיל מלך בבל צרים על ירושלים, the Babylonians placed a siege over Jerusalem, וירמיה הנביא היה כלו בחצר המטרה אשר בית מלך יהודה. And where is Jeremiah? In the pit. Tzidkiyah hated Yirmiyah. Everyone hated Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah, by the way, was the most unpopular guy in Israel. As they said, it's not a good job for a Jewish boy to be a prophet. Especially in that time. It was horrible. No one wanted it. No one wanted to be a Navi. So he was imprisoned in the pit waiting for his sentence. There is a siege over Jerusalem. I would say horrible times for the Jewish people, even more horrible time for Yirmiyah. So, Asher klaot Tzidkiyahu melech leYehuda leemor, because who imprisoned him there? צדקיה, the king of Judah, לאמור, says to him, מדוע אתה ניבא לאמור, כה אמר השם, הנני נותן את העיר הזאת ביד מלך בבל ולחדה. Why do you say, why do you prophesize that what, that king of Babel is going to conquer this land? Look at Zedekiah. The siege is all over Jerusalem. You can see it coming. But he is upset with Yirmiyah saying the truth. Can't tolerate it. So he put him in the pit. So now no one will listen to him. וצדקיהו, מלך יהודה לא ימלט מיד הכסדים, כי ינתון ינתן ביד מלך בבל ודיבר פיו עם פיו ועיניו את עיניו תירנה. And you also prophesize that what, that I, the king, will be also be imprisoned and I will be expelled. ובבל יוליך את צדקיהו ושם יהיה עד פוקדי אותו נאום השם כי תלחמו את הכסדים לא תצליחו. You say it, you are telling me this horrible prophecy, שקט. I don't want to listen to you. Be here in the pit. So, not a good time. ויאמר ירמיהו היה דבר השם אליי לאמור. So ירמיה says, that what Hashem told me. הנה חנמל בן שלום דודך בא אליך לאמור. So חנמל, your cousin, is going to visit you. There's going to be a family visit in prison. And he will tell you, קנה לך את שדי אשר בענתות כי לך משפט הגאולה לקנות. Buy for me this field in Anatot because you are the one that needs to buy it. ויבוא אליי חנמל בן דודי, and חנמל, my cousin or my second cousin, whatever, בן דודי כדבר השם, אל חצר המטרה. ויאמר אליי, קנה את שדי אשר בענתות אשר בארץ בנימין, כי לך משפט הירושה ולך לגאולה, קנה לך ועדה כדבר השם. So חנמל comes to ירמיה. ירמיה is in prison, in the pit. Until when? Who knows? He was about to be put to death, by the way. There is a siege, and Yirmiyah knows that Babel is going to come and conquer the land of Israel and will expel the Jewish people. And Hashem says to him, Hanamel, your cousin, will come and tell you that you need to buy a field in Anatot. Would you call it a wise investment? No. Now, Hanamel is a good real estate, right? Real estate agent. He sells him a field that will be taken away from him. He will get the money. Yirmiyah will never see the field. What is the idea behind something like that? He is in the pit. He will not enjoy the field. Why would you buy a field in that time? Says the Navi, Vayekne et ha-sadeh me'et Hanamel ben Odi asher be'anatot. I bought it. I purchased the field. Vayeshkela lo et ha-kesef 7 shkalim ve'asara ha-kesef. I don't know how expensive it was. Bseder. ויכתוב בספר ויכתום ועיד עדים וישקול הכסף במאזניים. He signed it in the book and he, I guess, measured the money and he made the transaction. ויקח את ספר המקנה את החתום המצווה והחוקים ואת הגלוי ויתן את הספר המקנה אל ברוך בן אריה בן מחסה לעיני חנמל דודי ולעיני העדים he will bring witnesses הכותבים בספר המקנה לעיני כל היהודים, היהודים היושבים בחצר המטרה. He did it as a public event. He is going to purchase a field. What do you think the Jews thought about Yirmiyah? Not only a lousy prophet, but also a lousy investor. והצווה את ברוך לעיניהם לאמור. כה אמר השם צבקות אלוקי ישראל. לקוח את הספרים האלה, את ספר המקנה הזו, ואת החתום ואת ספר הגלוי הזה, ונתתם בכלי חרס, למען יעמדו ימים רבים. Take this book, take this document that testify, that witness, that I purchased that field and put it in pottery. That's the way they will put things in order for them to remain for many years. That's, by the way, how we found many of the Megillot were in pottery. כי כה אמר השם צבקות, because that what the Lord of Hosts said, עוד יקנו בתים ושדות וחרמים בארץ הזאת. Yes. That's from Yirmiyah. Very good. Yirmiyah already knew that there is going to be a time. It's not now. Yes, what I'm doing now, it's foolish. I'm not going to enjoy that field. I will not be able to give it to my children. I know, but what I do now publicly is that I proclaim, we are going to be expelled. We will bake only 7 years later. When we will come, it will be Ezra and Nehemiah and another 22,000 Shlemazels. If you know the Jewish history, who came with Ezra and Nehemiah? Exactly what I said, 22,000 Shlemazels. That they didn't have any mazel in Babel, they did not build big villas and big apartments and big fields, so they came, you know, to the Golden Medina, okay? Not the United States, Palestine, Israel back then. And they came and they were bothered by the Shomronim and the Kutim and all of them. And then there was a Ktav Sitna against them from Achashverosh. Until they built the second temple and until we have really some time of glory, took time. But Zechariah already saw. Odiknu sadot ukramim uvatim ba'aretz hazot. This land will give its produce. This land will be the land for their children. They will come. So, in order to bring it all together, we'll see two more sources on page number 4. On page number 4, in the middle of the page, it's a midrash in Bereshit Rabbah. It says like that. It's in the middle of the page. Can you see it? Vayi ba'et ahi, vayered Yehuda me'et echav. That's after they sold Yosef. Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda went down, literally and physically. According to Chazal, he lost his right to be the leader because the other tribes basically said, look what's happened to Yaakov because of your advice to sell Yosef. And they told him, we don't want you as a leader. So he went down. Or physically, he just went down. בגדה יהודה ותועבה נעשתה, אמר לכפרת יהודה, שקרת יהודה, ותועבה נעשתה בישראל, יהודה נעשה חולין. יהודה נעשה חולין כי חילל יהודה קודש השם אשר אהב, והי בעת ההיא עוד היורש אבי לך יושבת מרשה עוד עד עולם. Okay, now we are in the middle. והי בעת ההיא. רבי שמואל בר נחמן פתח, כי אנוכי ידעתי את המחשבות. I knew all the thoughts that the Jewish people had. שבטים היו עסוקים במחירתו של יוסף. The tribes were busy selling Yosef. ויוסף היה עסוק בסקו ותעניתו. And Yosef was busy with his way to repent. Because Yosef realized he also was not so tamim, so naive. ראובן היה עסוק בסקו ותעניתו. And Reuven was busy with what? With his repentance. Because Reuven felt responsible of not bringing Yosef back. ויעקב היה עסוק בסקו ותעניתו. And Yaakov was busy with fasting and mourning for Yosef. ויהודה היה עסוק בלקח אישה. And Yehuda was busy with taking a wife. והקדוש ברוך הוא היה עסוק בורא אורו של מלך המשיח. And Hashem was busy giving birth to an extent to מלך המשיח. ויהי בעת ההיא וירד יהודה, בטרם תחיל ילדה. קודם שלא נולד משעבד ראשון, נולד גואל האחרון. Already before the Jewish people went to Egypt, went down to Egypt, already the Geula was created. What do we have here? The remedy is before the disease. הקדוש ברוך הוא מקדים תרופה למכה. It's not that there is not going to be a מכה. There is going to be a מכה. There is going to be a calamity. There is going to be enslavement in Egypt. There is going to be an exile. There is going to be all of it. But knowing that there is going to be a remedy for it, make it little softer. Make it a little nicer. We already know that in during the time of the calamity, we know that there is going to be redemption. Does it mean that we're going to be the one to be redeemed? As a yachid, as an individual? Maybe yes, maybe no. But as a klal, as a congregation, as a community, as a nation of Israel, we know there is going to be a redemption. According to the Midrash, how many Jews left Egypt? וחמושים עלו בני ישראל מארץ מצרים? Only 20%. By the way, make the calculation. How many Jews left? 2 million, 3 million, that was only 20%. Which means how many left? How many were gone? 80%, which is probably 8 million people. Again, does not mean that everyone will be redeemed, but the redemption is already there. And it's not only that the redemption is already there, Hashem is with us there. In the keynote that we read yesterday, in one of the keynote, it says, Lema'anchem bavela shulachti. For your sake, I, says Hashem, was sent to Babel. He himself went to Babylon to be with the Jewish people. Same thing, by the way, happened in Mitzrayim. When Hashem says to Yaakov, go down to Egypt, ve'anochi, and I, a'alcha gam alo, which means I will come up with you, which means I went down with you. Imo anochi betzara, I am with you when you suffer. You know, the image that I always have in my mind when I read this verse, בצרתם לא צר, או אמו אנוכי בצרה, is like a baby. A baby runs and he falls, and then he gets a boo-boo. Okay? Let's say he got a cut and he needs stitches. So what does a baby do? Runs to whom? To his mama, right? To his mother. And he cries, and the mother hugs him, gives him a big kiss, and says, יהיה בסדר. Right? It will be okay. Now, after the mother says it will be okay, most of the time the baby stop crying. I want to ask you a question. Does he still need stitches for the cut? Yes, the cut is the same cut. The hug and the kiss and yeh beseder does not heal it. But somehow the baby is comforted. What is the psychological process here? Is that the mother showed sympathy, or the father, but mostly it's the mother, showed sympathy and empathy, and the child feels he is being held. It's not that the boo-boo disappeared. It's still there. But knowing that someone is with you, crying with you, makes it easier. That is the meaning of Hashem Bore Oro Shel Mashiach. That Hashem created the light of Mashiach in the time of the most horrible times. Is yes, you are going to suffer. Yeah, there is going to be suffering. But knowing that Hashem is there with you, gives you the hug, it makes it a little bit easier. We will conclude with Irmiya. Ki ko amar Hashem, ka'asher eveti el ha'am hazeh et kol hara'a ha'gdola hazot, this is the last source on page 4. Ken anochi mevi aleihem et kol ha'tova asher anochi dover aleihem. For thus said the Lord, as I have brought this terrible disaster upon these people, so I am going to bring upon them the vast good fortune which I have promised for them. ונקנה השדה בארץ הזאת אשר אתם אומרים שממה היא מעין אדם ובהמה נתנה ביד כסדים. And fields shall again be purchased in this land of which you say it is a desolation without a man or beast. It is delivered into the hands of the כסדים. ושדות בכסף יקנו. וחטוב בספר וחתום והעדדים בארץ בנימין ובסביבי ירושלים ובערי יהודה ובערי ההר ובערי השפלה ובערי הנגב כי אשיב את שבותם נאום השם. Fields shall be purchased and deeds written and sealed and witnesses called in the land of Benjamin and in the inversions of Jerusalem and in the towns of Judah, the towns of the hill country, the towns of Shvela and the towns of Negev. For I will restore their fortunes, declares the name of Hashem. You know what? I don't need Yirmiyah. Step out of the OU Israel Center. Next to where I live now, Baruch Hashem, they just finished. Baruch Hashem for the noise. And Baruch Hashem that they are about to finish Tama 38. And it says with a big sign, Baruch Ata Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. When you look around, Sadot bakesef ikno, you see how this prophecy came to fruition in front of our eyes. Atzechem itnu pri. Your trees will be fruitful everywhere. You will become a light unto the nation. We are on the way to do it. Baruch Hashem. I think the title of this class, Running of Reality or Jewish Optimism, I'm not sure it's even Jewish optimism. I think it's our religion, it's our faith. That's the way we are wired. It's not that we cannot tolerate sadness. It's not that we cannot cry for, you know, 25 hours. It's just not in our DNA to do it, because cry for the purpose of what? We cry for what we lost. But the minute we realize what we lost, we know what we can accomplish. You know what? Even in personal sadness, God forbid, in an avelut ishit, when we lose a relative, the Talmud in Moed Katan says what? Shlosha yamim lebechi, 3 days for crying, v'shiv'a yamim lehesped, and 7 days for eulogy. What is the eulogy? The eulogy is to characterize the personality that we lost, is to learn lessons from it. When we say Yisko, it's not only to remember our loved ones, but it's to remember how we remember them, which means our responsibility to be remembered. What do we do? How are we going to be remembered for the next generation? When we relate to sadness, the immediate question that comes to mind is, what do we do about it in order to prevent it next time? This is a question of responsibility. Just to be sad and to cry for things that happened in the history, you don't put any responsibility on your shoulders. Avoteinu chatu ve'inam. Our ancestors sinned and they are gone. Aval anachnu. What about us? What do we do to fix it? You know, there is this famous sentence, ההיסטוריה חוזרת על עצמה. History repeats itself. You know why? Because you don't learn from it. If you will learn from it, you will fix it and it will not come again. You will change it. This is the Jewish theme in history and also in the Talmud. That's what Rabbi Akiva is teaching us. That's what Yirmiyah teaches us. You need to know that even in the midst of calamity, of a tragedy, may it be on a personal level, may it be on a national level, already Hashem bore oro shel Mashiach vegeula. This is the way we look at things. This is the way we live our lives. This is the way we take responsibility on our shoulders and bring Geula. Thank you.